Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Hashtag I'm with Bozo. I am your host, Grant Fussell, aka it is your boy G. And today I have a very, very special guest alongside with me. Lifelong friend, I should say. Days in South Lyon High, about ninth grade, eighth grade or so. Had the girls dancing with his puka shells and his spiky hair when he showed up from RU High, or I think he might have went to Thurston. Nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, it's KG in the kitchen. It's my boy Kevin Gordon. KG, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm just cooking up all the hot meals, baby.
Ooh, any hot heaters?
I always got those locks on deck.
Attaboy. That's what's up, Kevin. How you doing on this fantastic Tuesday?
Going well, man. You know, just had some dinner, having some drinks. I'm on a little podcast action with my boy G. So ready for some, ready for some hot heaters, hot questions, and
some hot takes.
Ready to, you know, spill some beans out there, you know.
Definitely. Well, as I like to do first on this, we're obviously friends before we're rivals. You moved down to Florida about a year or so ago. How's life going down there, man? How's
yes, sir. Yep. Last July 2020. Life is great, man. I'll just say I'll never be back to Michigan full time. So
you'll never move back to Michigan to live.
I will not move back to Michigan.
Hashtag hot take.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
I'll take sand over snow any day. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I feel that, man. I feel that. That's what's up.
But yeah, man, life is good down here.
Good. I actually got the chance to visit you down there, and it was very fun. We had a great time.
That's right.
You have a nice spot down there. Seems very well.
Can't complain.
How's my main girl G doing?
I mean, you know, she's doing wonderful, man. She's doing good. She's 8, almost 9 now.
That's so wild, man. I remember we were talking about 7 years ago when these days would come on. And
that's right.
She's
awesome. She's a little athlete taking after her dad. You know, she's a big time golfer. Takes lessons every week. So
sweet. Is she a lefty?
She's a righty.
Ooh, still dope.
But she'll be beating us in a couple of years.
Yeah, I believe it. That's what's up. It's good to see that she's getting involved in stuff that especially you like, obviously, and that she likes as well, not just because you do, but for her own thing. That's very cool to see, letting her do her own thing. Like,
that's right. You know, a little independent woman. Little girl, but, you know, acts like a woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tight. Well, maybe not so much more recently. It's been a little bit of time. You started dating somebody here. How's that going?
It's ironic enough. It'll be a year this weekend. Ooh. So
any perfect time for one year?
Of course. You know, I got some plans in the back pocket. You know, KG in the kitchen. You know, I'm cooking up a couple hot meals.
Ooh, love it.
So, yeah, no, things are going good. Liz is awesome. She's actually moving down at the end of the year.
Hashtag hot take number 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, here we go. Know, so moving forward is good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And she'll be working remotely, so, you know, gonna set
still
her
up. Still doing the vacuum thing?
Yeah, she's a project manager at Bissell, which, you know, the vacuum company, yes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But, you know, she'll be doing the home office life type thing now and holding down the pad, and I'll be out there in the trenches playing with the gators and snakes and
That brings me right to my next point. Obviously, you went down to Florida for the whole evergreen erosion thing. How is that going? I mean, I see the snaps. Obviously, you're in the trenches, swamps, gators.
Yeah, man. Business is great. Definitely a lot different construction down here in Florida than up in Michigan. You know, a lot more going on.
Like, what's – like, give me something that's just different. Like, one thing that you've noticed.
I mean, the properties that we deal with are, like – 500 acres, 1,000 acres, opposed to Michigan when we were
like
doing
200. Yeah.
It'd be 200. Like 20 acres, maybe 15 acres. So I'm dealing with projects that are 10 times as big.
Yeah, I was going to say 10. Yeah, okay.
So it's a whole different scale of work down here, which I knew what I was getting into, but once I got down here, I got the dose of reality, and it's been great. We're growing quickly. So
definitely. Good. That's good to hear, man. Obviously, I can see you guys are doing your thing. I've got a chance to see you a few times this year, which has been great.
Yeah, might need some.
Catching any gators? Seeing any gators?
Oh, gators all the time. Yeah, messing with them. Nah, we're good.
Yeah, I got to eat one not too long ago.
Yeah, I saw that in your little food review. Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually the best thing I've had since I started the old G scale.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. The highest rated thing on there so far was amazing.
Well, you're gonna have to come down to Florida and try some gator.
That's where it was. It was in
Florida. Oh, it was in Florida. Oh, shoot. Well, Bozo me.
Hashtag Bozo Gordo.
That's
running the blood.
All right. Well, good.
Good, man. Good. Sounds like life's going well.
Oh yeah, no complaints.
Tight. Well, it's time that what we get to, why everybody's listening, is time to talk about the old fantasy footballing and the lamb chops.
Oh, the lamb chops play along, baby.
That's the second name they've had this year already?
Or the third? Second victory?
No, name.
Oh, this is my second name. It used to be hashtag all green.
Because?
Well, two seasons ago, I basically traded away all my star players for guys at the end of the season that had green matchups only. So I used to set my lineup as all green matchups, no matter who the player was. And it took me to second place. It took me all the way up. So that's where hashtag all green came from. It's just matchups rather than names.
So why'd you change it if it worked so well for you?
Well, this year hasn't gone so well. So
okay, we'll get into that. So with the whole all green thing,
yes,
that was 2 years ago, you said. So that leads me right into your keeper strategy for this season.
Yes.
Basically why you kept who you did, and did the old Bozo rules have anything to do with like how you were trying to set yourself up?
I guess
for last year and this year.
100%. So what screwed me up, and which I do have to applaud you on for winning last year. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Is obviously, you know, a couple of years ago we did trades for picks.
Correct.
So I was going a little bit hard on the trades for draft picks, trying to, you know, basically win the league to set myself up, you know, as basically free rolling for the next 2-3 seasons to rebuild my team, and hopefully I can build back up from there.
So you went all in to win that year.
I did. I thought that was my best chance. I had Patrick Mahomes. I had Travis Kelce on my team. They were like my ringleaders. They just, and it's ironic is I actually traded them towards the end of the year for my hashtag all green players. And it actually worked out because I looked back at some of the playoff matches, and like if I would have kept them in my lineup and not traded them, I would have lost. But instead, correct, I picked up Amari Cooper and I picked up Dak Prescott, and they had a great end of the season. And you can ask Nick Sarkisian about that little 99% win percentage chance he had on me, and I came back and beat him in the playoffs.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow anything here on this podcast, and if you're on fantasy sports on Yahoo, and it gives you the projected like live chances of winning, when that year when that happened, when Kevin did that, he was literally at 1% to win. And I think Dak and Amari like got like
exactly
a 100 points for you or something.
Yeah, so I was actually, funny story about that, I was texting, I believe it was with EZ and maybe my brother, and I was like, I need 3 touchdown catches from Amari Cooper, and obviously Dak's throwing them to him, for me to have a chance to win. Well, ironically enough, Amari went for like a 90-yard touchdown reception, and then another one right at the end of regulation to put him in overtime. And then in overtime, Amari catches the game-winning touchdown to put me over the top to beat Nick to make it, I believe it was, to the finals against EZ.
When EZ shipped him Dottie Peps.
And EZ did ship the Dottie Peps that year, but you know what?
That's
hashtag all green kind of worked for me. You know, it was a good strategy.
Looking back on it, it was the best thing you could do. Obviously, it worked. It got you to the championship. It's just so wild to think that trading Mahomes and Kelce helped your team.
And it did.
It did. So wild. It's so wild. To me, to this day, it's still like.
And that's like the dynamics of fantasy football.
The best fantasy matchup / trade thing like that have worked
I've ever
seen. And I've been doing fantasy football for like 15 years.
Everybody thought I was crazy, but like in previous years, I would just keep all the big names thinking that they're going to take me to the top, and it never worked out. And as you know, like, in how many years past has the number one guy in our league during regular season not won the championship? It just...
You mean actually won the championship?
Over into the playoffs, because normally those players are being benched or not played as much, or their teams are so far ahead that they just don't put them in as many plays, and it's... It just
you need
doesn't
those guys fighting for playoff spots.
Exactly. Exactly. Hashtag all green guys. So
okay. So with what we just talked about, why did you keep Jerry Jeudy this year? And why did you not have a second keeper this year?
Okay. So yeah, this goes back to a couple years ago when we had the picks for draft or the trades for draft picks. So I went all in, put my baskets all in one, my eggs in all in one basket, and didn't win. But I took second.
You got money back plus some.
Yeah. So then last year my team was not so good, and being very generous and making trades that, you know, I was basically fire sailing my whole team, not thinking about the up next season, I pretty much let go all of my top players last year in trades. So I was left with pretty much a bottom tier team at the end of last year. So I didn't have much to choose from. So thought on Jerry Jeudy, second year wide receiver. Teddy Bridgewater is now the quarterback. A little more.
In the offseason, it was looking very promising. Yes. Knowing where you were drafting, too. That's another thing I like.
Exactly.
About
and I had the third pick. I had the third pick, I believe, this year.
No, you had the fourth pick.
Oh, fourth pick. Okay, fourth pick. But yeah, so I think Teddy was like a eighth round pick last year for me. So
did you think to keep them both since you knew he was going?
Well, I wanted to keep Austin Eckler, but I kept him the year before, so he would have been my first round pick.
And you didn't want to give up that fourth round.
And I didn't want to give out. Yeah, if I had like a 8th to 12th round pick, I probably would have kept him. But having such a high pick, it just wasn't worth me keeping Eckler because it would have been a first round pick. And I couldn't even name you three guys on my team from last year. That's how
crap. See, and hashtag, this is a decredit to Eric. We need that information. I don't think he has it because of his old computer. It's gone.
Yeah, that's okay.
Last year, I think. So he's got everything on last year. But so we don't know anything really that happened 2 years ago.
You're right.
Another reason why we're changing the name of the league to hashtag I'm with Bozo for sure.
That's
if right. We haven't done so already. I think.
Yeah, that's up for debate as I've seen.
We'll vote on it. We know how Eric likes to run the democracy here.
Right.
But it'll be in the votes at the end of the year party. Don't get it twisted.
That's right. So
going back to your point on not taking Eckler as a number 4 overall pick, he ended up going in the first round, 9th yes. overall to Brady Bunch.
Correct.
So.
Well, I got Aaron Jones out of it instead of Eckler.
Comparing the two, I think.
I mean, Aaron Jones hasn't had a killer year this year, but.
Okay, but.
You know, he's hot. I mean, everybody wants him. I'm always getting messages. Everybody wants Aaron Jones, but the value just, it's just not worth getting rid of him yet. Now that I've won a couple weeks in a row, I'm on the up and up. You know, maybe he's a holder for right now.
Aaron Jones. Nice. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a starter, obviously. Duh.
Yeah, I mean.
Unless you get something that blows you away.
Well, unfortunately, it's always the opposite. So, yeah, yep. It's not worth it.
It's hard to trade in this league.
Well, it's funny you say that because this year there's been so many trades, right?
It's actually been pretty fair, majority of them.
And that's the hard part about doing
60 to 40.
Yeah, and that's the hard part about doing trades now in this league is because we used to have a middleman, Eric Ealy, kind of decide if the trade was fair or not. And now we've gone to like a majority, you know, majority vote in the league. That's right. So it's basically for me is I started 0-5. I've won a couple weeks in a row. I think I have a pretty balanced team. I like it.
We'll get
it's
there.
It's good. What's
I know,
that?
I agree. I said we'll get to how you've been doing.
Oh,
we're talking preseason stuff here still, sonny boy.
All right, next thing
I want to talk about is obviously your fourth overall pick in the draft, which is obviously a top tier pick. A little tough, where you're at, because the top tier running backs, they don't get kept majority of the time, get drafted there in those picks. So I want to know your strategy, your draft strategy this year on what you were planning on doing.
Yeah. So in years past, I believe I've taken like wide receivers pretty early, and it hasn't really worked out too well as far as the depth of my team. So this year I was more, I believe, running back.
I mean, you were thinking running back.
I was thinking running back, and especially like when Aaron Jones was there for me at number four. I mean, Green Bay's offense runs through him and Devontae Adams, let's be honest. I mean,
so you didn't even think to take Eckler?
No. Oh,
with your fourth pick.
With my fourth pick. I mean, at that point, no. Why? I would have just kept Barkley. Him. I would have just kept him.
Or Zeke. Or Saquon
was coming off an ACL tear. Zeke, they have a lot of weapons in Dallas.
I deal with them too.
So I was just thinking, like, who is going to be the Packers offense? It's Rodgers, obviously, throwing.
Jones,
yeah. Running and catching. And Devontae Adams just obviously being Devontae Adams. So right there, it was a pretty much given who I would select. So, and then after that, I mean, really it was up in the air. But as you say, in this league, because it's two keepers, a lot of the big name guys are gone. You don't have that opportunity to draft them unless, obviously, they were on your team previously where you can keep them. And hashtag, I'm a bozo. I only kept Jerry Jeudy, ripped first week, ankle out. Good enough. Yeah. Which kind of put me behind the eight ball a little bit. So,
I mean, you made some value picks. You got Burrow in the fifth. Raheem Mostert coming off the year last year in the fourth round was obviously a very well thought out pick. Getting him in the fourth round, that's very valuable, actually. Even though I know he got hurt.
First week. Like, first half.
Yeah. I mean, it's still not Mostert. I mean, that could be a low-key little keeper for you next year. Who knows?
Well, I already dropped. No, he's on the waivers, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, I guess they did draft Trey Sermon and whatnot.
Yeah. And what's that guy's Mitchell? What's his name? Who's the back? Who's the starter now there?
Yeah, Mitchell, you're right.
Yeah, that, you know, Mr. Paul spent $78 on him.
Did he really?
Not literally, I think it was like 40. I think it was in the 40s, maybe.
Wow. I don't think I've bid more than $10 on somebody this year yet. I've only got like one.
Yeah, I went. Yeah, I think I'm in the same position as you. No, I think that's it. Yeah, I haven't really picked too many people up off waivers for a high dollar price.
So, is there anybody during your draft that you were looking at that you were ready to take?
Well,
and maybe your brother or hashtag collusion Corey. Maybe took somebody that you wanted, had your eye on.
Well, ironically enough, because I drafted Joe Burrow, obviously, you know, the rookie that's now on your team, Ja'Marr Chase.
I wasn't letting you get him, dog.
Was on my radar. And I mean, I knew he would go early-ish, but I was trying.
He actually kind of slipped, I think.
He did.
The whole preseason fucking.
Yeah, because he had drops and.
Oh, no, he's not going to catch anything. It's funny. I saw a stat of his compared to Randy Moss's rookie season, and he's like 40 yards behind him and one touchdown behind Randy Moss's rookie season. Yes. Obviously, I know it's way too early.
Right.
But Ja'Marr Chase is looking like the value pick of the draft so far.
Well, that goes to answer your question, is that Ja'Marr Chase was one of those players on my radar that I was trying to have the combo of Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, obviously LSU connections. So you knew when it was like game time, regular season, they were going to show out, you know. But unfortunately.
So in your fifth round, you took Burrow.
I took Burrow fifth round, correct.
I also took Ja'Marr Chase fifth round. Were you going to take Ja'Marr Chase on the backswing if he came back to you in the sixth round?
So Jerry Jeudy was my sixth round. Jerry Jeudy was my sixth round keeper.
Dang it.
So I was hoping to get him in the seventh round, and I still thought that was early enough for like a rookie that didn't really have a great preseason. I thought I could honestly, I personally thought I could get him for no doubt.
So this also leads me to the next question I had for you, because I knew I took Ja'Marr Chase. Did you have your eye on Joe Burrow drafting him the whole time? If so, why did you not take Ja'Marr Chase where you took CeeDee Lamb or Allen Robinson in the second and third round?
Well, obviously Allen Robinson was my like oops pick, but not knowing that the Bears offense would be what it is now. But I knew Joe Burrow was gonna be my first quarterback just based off of how he started last year, his injury. I just knew he would come back strong. And I mean, he's having obviously a great second year. I mean, the Bengals are what, 5-2, 6-2? I mean, on their way to the playoffs, obviously being led by him.
I mean, they're winning their division right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's in my mind, in my draft strategy, that's when I would kind of wanted to take a quarterback. I wanted to get a couple wide receivers, a couple running backs. I knew I had Judy in the sixth round as my keeper. So somewhere, if I felt comfortable, that's kind of when I wanted to go for a quarterback. Burrow was up, and I took the risk. I mean, now I traded him since to Corey, but, you know, at the time. Yep. Yeah, hindsight. I figured all the weapons that Burrow had to throw to was more than a reasonable pick in the fifth.
It's funny because Corey now has the two best quarterbacks from that draft class, Burrow and Herbert.
That will get brought up in a little bit, yes, but you're correct.
Okay, a little hot take from KG in the kitchen.
Yes, all right. He does have the two studs.
I like it. Obviously, you've drafted a team the way you thought you needed to be the best. Looking back, obviously, we are into week 8 of the season, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Looking back at the first 7 weeks of Lamb Chop's season, how do you feel the team is meshing or gelling? Is it what you expected come draft night? Are they living up to the hype?
Well, obviously you can't predict injuries happening, and first week Mozart and Jerry Jeudy go down, so now I'm already behind the eight ball. I have to restructure, rethink, obviously try and make some trades. That's when the Burrow trade came in with Corey. I mean, I picked up Devontae Smith.
I meant to bring that up. Who did you get in return for the Burrow trade is what I meant to look at.
So I gave Burrow for
– I can pull it up here real quick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got Devontae – no, I think I got Devontae Smith from EZ. I got Joe Mixon. I'm pretty sure I got Mixon.
Joe Burrow and Allen Robinson for –
Mixon,
DeAndre Hopkins, and Baker Mayfield.
Oh, shoot. Way off. Okay. You're right. I did get Hopkins, but I traded him like the next week to EZ.
You traded DeAndre Hopkins and James White for Devontae Smith and Joe Mixon, which I voted against that trade because I thought you were getting ripped off.
You thought I was getting ripped off?
Here nor there. I mean, you gave up the top. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a top three wide receiver in this league, and you gave him up for a second running back and a rookie. So, whatever. Well, that's neither here nor there. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but, yeah, no, I get it. I agree. But I think, I mean, dealing with the couple injuries.
Won 2 games.
Yeah, well, you know, it was an 0-5 start, very slow. Some close matchups, some unfortunate circumstances. But I think with some of the trades that I've made, I mean, looking at my team right now, I feel like minus my quarterbacks, I mean, Carson Wentz has actually had a half-decent year. I honestly thought Justin Fields would produce and become way more than what he is, but I feel like he's held by his coach and his offense and just how the team is, how they run. So,
who was that?
Justin Fields.
Yeah, he's handcuffed, I feel like.
He's very handcuffed, yeah. And I thought
– they don't know what they're doing over there.
That's right. That's kind of my thought process. But
because they have weapons.
Right. And then looking at my other quarterback, Baker Mayfield, so I have Baker and Justin Fields, the two most run-heavy offenses in the NFL.
So why would you trade for Baker then?
Well, that was with EZ and
collusion, I hear? That's your boy?
Or what? Zero collusion.
I mean, he's starting to get hot. He's putting up 200 points a month now, or a week.
Yeah, well, hey, every squirrel finds a nut. But,
Hibachi steak dinner if he wins for you.
Hibachi steak, shoot.
Because looking at your lineup right now, Baker Mayfield's on your bench.
Well, he's hurt, so...
he's questionable.
I don't have an option, unfortunately, so I have to roll with Justin Fields.
Oh, he didn't play last week.
Right. Yeah, he's got a... Yeah, he's down.
But it's a divisional matchup against the Steelers. He's going to play.
Possibly, but I'm still have high hopes on Justin Fields. Maybe he'll have a breakout game or two here and there. And I actually, as of today, I traded Carson Wentz to EZ, and I picked up Teddy Bridgewater. Yes, today.
It's a hot take.
So I traded Carson Wentz for Teddy Bridgewater because now Jerry Jeudy is coming back. And I have Noah Fant, the tight end for the Denver Broncos, so I'm rolling with the combo.
So you're trying to do what I did last year with the Vikings, with Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, yes. and I had Adam Thielen.
And I thought you were crazy for it.
Until it took me to the Dottie Peppers.
And look what happened. Cash, right?
I should be posting on my trophy right here every podcast. Like,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. Put it up.
But I don't want to do it because it's like I feel like it would be a jinx to me for my team this year because, like, nobody's repeated here, and I want to be the first one to do it.
Well, haven't you said everyone that's come on the podcast that week they've lost?
Not everybody, but there has been some murmurs of a hashtag podcast curse where people come on here and they lose, but it's not for everybody.
Well, I'm breaking that.
I haven't looked into that too much because Blake just brought it up because he got beat by Eric after he called the whole slump buster thing last week. But I haven't looked into that much, but I think I'm also going to put that on the prediction.
Okay.
Stuff on the sheet, the predictions I have, like,
yeah,
to see how you do next week if you win, like, like how people are, just for my own being, and then, like, just, you know, maybe I am a curse. I don't know.
Well, looks like Blake got slump busted last week anyway, so.
But I think when Sarks was on, he had just lost to me by, like, a butt pucker. And then I think the next week he won. And I'd have to look back. I think Corey won on his, too. But I can't remember. I'd have to do a little fact-checking on that. So don't quote me, boy, because I didn't say he.
That's all right. That's all right.
So is there anybody – obviously, you're, like, a big trade talker guy. You're open to trading to anybody. You're open to listening to deals. Is there anybody on your radar that you want to go after to trade for?
So here's the thing. Yes, I've always been a very giving, fair-ish trade.
Fair-ish? What?
Fair-ish trade, you know, for the league. But this year I've got some trade offers that, you know, just haven't made sense. And last year, me basically being at the bottom, obviously finishing last place last year, I was just fire sailing my whole entire team, not giving two thoughts of who am I going to keep. So I was just trading guys away opposed to this year where
You're trading everybody away. You traded both Joe Burrow.
That was in like week three, man. Like, that's not a big deal. I mean, Joe Burrow is okay.
Just threw up 34 points. Or 32. Well, hashtag Corey at 32, and I had Jamar Chase with 34.
Ooh. That's right. There you go. But this year, Joe Burrow is emerging
as a top-tier quarterback, and you just let him go for Baker Mayfield? Well, in hindsight, you traded Joe Burrow away, and then you got another quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Sounds like a downgrade to me.
Hear me out. I'm not going full fire sale this year. I'm thinking about next year a little bit, but I deep down, I feel like I still have a glimmer of hope to salvage a year.
I mean, and you're on a couple games. I didn't look if you've won a couple games in a row.
I did.
We're going to get into that. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
But your name has come up a bunch to be in the bottom feeders. That's all I'm saying.
That's okay. Hey, it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. I started
17 weeks, and we're 7 weeks in, baby. You got 10 weeks left.
I took last place last year, so if I take 11th this year, I'm moving up.
Hashtag Bush Light, baby. Or I should say Bush Light Bozo. That was you last year. But that was me 2 years ago, so you got hope this year.
Right.
Is anybody on your team on the trading block? I might as well ask.
I mean, obviously, Daniel Jones and Joe Mixon are all – you know, like the top guys I'm always getting offers on.
What about Aaron Jones?
But with that being said, winning a couple weeks in a row and looking at the balance of my team, I mean, I know projections do not mean anything, but I'm projected. I'm projected the third highest points scored this week. And just looking in the future, because I'm a guy that looks ahead in matchups and team, you know, bye weeks. This is the time of year when fantasy and managing your team is actually the most important, because playing guys the first six, seven weeks when there's no bye weeks, let the best man play. Who cares? Yeah. It doesn't matter, right?
Best man versus best man.
Yeah. Right. So this is when fantasy football actually becomes a real strategy, and you have to think, and you have to look at your bench, and you have to actually think out trade offers and
acquisitions.
Yeah, everything. Who are you going to pick up off the waivers? I mean, this is when fantasy football becomes fantasy football, when you can't play the top tier guys every week because they might not be there. Because
you're trading them all away, duh.
No, not this year. No, not this year. I'm holding. I mean, I'm holding right now.
Whatever. We don't care. We already talked about it.
But so yeah, I mean, I still have.
Obviously, you're doing something that's right. You were losing a bunch. Now you're starting to win. You're making a bunch of trades. Obviously, something's working. I'm just talking a little garbage
If you look at my drafted team, and if you look at my team right now, I have a way better team now.
Which I did.
And I'm guessing you agree.
I do agree, but I feel like you didn't have to get rid of all of your parts to get what you got in return for those guys.
I mean, but in reality, all I traded away was Joe Burrow. That's all I gave away is Joe Burrow. CeeDee Lamb was drafted. Aaron Jones was drafted. Those are my two main guys. And basically, Mozart was gone, so I got Joe Mixon for him. I mean, essentially, that's who's in his spot now. Devontae Smith, he's a rookie, but he's the top.
In the spot of Davante Adams. Oops!
Rip.
Yep. On to the next topic, because that's where we're done with you being a bozo. I guess, since you love to look forward, even though we just recapped the week seven, you love to look forward to the next things that come about. What is it going to take for the Lamb Chops to finish the season in the top six to make the playoffs?
Some firecrackers up my guys' asses. Let's go. Put some points up. No, in reality, yeah, I mean, Jerry Jeudy's back off injuries, you know, off the IR. So I think he's
itching ready to go, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great first half of the first game. I mean, I think he still put up 14, 15 points that game. And then he, you know, unfortunate ankle injury.
So did you see it? I saw it. Oh, so bad.
No, I just got the notification, unfortunately, on my phone. So, I mean, yeah, just – staying healthy, having my guys stay healthy, just, you know, maybe acquiring a guy or two off the waiver wires, maybe making a trade or so.
I already know you're gonna.
I'm weak at quarterback.
We'll see. I'm mustering something up as we speak.
Yeah, I'm weak at the quarterback position right now. I feel like my wide receivers are pretty solid.
I got Mac Jones. He just put up 25 or something, 27. Better than your single digit boy.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz did all right.
Against the New York,
like 1 point.
Against the New York Jets, right?
And you still won. Justin Fields had 1 point. You still won.
That's just because that's the luck of the draw.
So that actually leads me right into the next point: is leading up or recapping your Week 7 matchup. So give me your thoughts on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, who to sit, who to start. Even Saturday, Sunday, what were you thinking going into your matchup this week?
This past week. I mean, my lineup is pretty straightforward. I mean, I don't have the deepest bench, so I don't have too many options. And I didn't have any guys on bye week, so it was pretty straightforward. You know, put my best guys in. Obviously, Baker Mayfield had a late week scratch. He wasn't going to start, so I was pretty much forced – because of easy not trading me Daniel Jones.
Ooh.
I was forced to play Justin Fields against the Bucs in Tampa, which I knew it was going to be an absolute disaster.
Lacking, yeah.
But I had no choice. pretty much had no choice. I mean, I could have put like James Conner as a flex, but I mean, that's not like a guaranteed anything. No,
not at all.
Right. So, I mean, this past week, my lineup was pretty straightforward. I had nothing to think about. Nobody I could really move.
Injuries, you just had
just buys and injuries. Right. Judy's on IR. Baker's out. I just had no option but to roll with what I had. And obviously, you saw I won with 100 points.
That was actually my next point because I'm looking right at the recap right here. And it says with the 10th ranked point total in the league for the week out of 12 teams. So only two teams scored less points than you, which was the guy you played against and somebody else. I would have to look at it. Lamb Chops beats the Brady Bunch 100.96 to 93.88. So how butt-puckered were you last night when he had Tyler Lockett going and he needed, I think it was 190. He needed
10 points, 10 and a half points. So I watched the first half and Lockett had like one catch for 8 yards, 5 yards.
Smith.
I think it was one catch for 5 yards going into halftime. I was watching I was watching how the game was being played, and I was just honestly, I was pretty confident going into the second half. It was rainy, it was windy. Seattle was
storms on the West Coast this weekend.
Yeah, it was one of those like in the trenches type games where Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett have that relationship Geno Smith and Tyler Lockett, it hurts him. It very much so hurts him.
Obviously hurts the whole team.
Because he's not a down-the-field type receiver, or he is a down-the-field receiver where Geno Smith can't get that ball to him.
And he can't also keep the plays alive like Russell Wilson can.
Exactly.
It was very evident that the Seahawks need Russell Wilson to be any type of relevant in the NFL.
Yeah, and for Tyler Lockett to even be the receiver that he is.
Which is
DK Metcalf is a whole other type of beast just because he's DK Metcalf. Yeah. But
that's funny. I saw that first touchdown, and when he threw it, I was like, oh, my God, is that Lockett? Nope.
So it's funny you say this. So, well, I'm going to take myself to another league I'm in, but I was in a very tight matchup.
Corey, close your ears.
What's that?
I said, Corey, close your ears. We're talking about another league.
Oh. No, I was in another league where it was I was up like 3 points. I had Metcalf going, and the other guy had like Alex Collins going. And obviously that like 84-yard touchdown reception, whatever it was, it was a GG wrap.
Reminded me of Javad Best, isn't that his name, of the Lions on Monday Night Football running down on Monday Night Football against the Bears. It was the same thing I had. He had like a 70-yard touchdown run, and I was just like screaming, like, "Yeah, what is that fantasy line match on Sunday Night Football?"
Yes. That's exactly what happened to me last night. Right when that touchdown happened, I was like, it's over. Like, I can't lose. That's a wrap.
It's meant to be.
But I wasn't worried about the matchup last night after the first half, how it was played out. I mean, I just honestly turned the TV off, went to bed, and I think I woke up to a message and whatever saying, good win. Like, how do I get, you know, it's the luck of the draw. But see, I've also been on the other end of that. Like, earlier in the year, I scored the third most points out of everybody in the league, and I lost.
Don't you hate that?
And so that's a horrible feeling, right?
The worst feeling. Like,
right.
There's only two people in the league that can beat you.
Right.
The guy you played against, one other one.
But I think it's better to have the third lowest scored points in the week and you win. I think that's better than having the third highest points and losing.
Yeah, 100%, because another half.
No expectations.
We don't give away do we still give away the most points in the league for money at the end of the year? Whoever has the most points gets money.
I'm sure that rule will change by the end of the year.
I think did when Blake had the most points in the league and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Eric wanted to do highest points scored, I believe, over the record, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, though.
Because
honestly,
the best record already gets.
Yeah, I like the more points scored. Yeah, most points scored over best record. I think that's totally fair.
I do too. Which we got to give a little segment of time to give a little credit to Bozo every week. There's his credit this week. It was probably a good thing to do that.
Of course. Hashtag he is a Bozo.
Yep. Takes one to know one. Ain't that right?
I mean, he is at the bottom of the league.
Right along their side with his brother.
Hey, hey, lamb chop and pork chop. We're on the up and up, you know.
It was so funny to see your text of a gift this morning of lamb chops, the little puppet.
Oh yeah, coming out the door, man. You know, I put up 100 points. Hello! And I get that W.
I love it. I love it.
That's why I can't. See, I've thought about trading CeeDee Lamb, but I mean, what would the point be? I would just give my whole team name away.
Yeah, definitely. Then you have to change it. Just I gotta, like, well, there was a little hot take. I don't know if anybody saw it when two podcasts ago. People can leave voice messages on the Spotify app when they listen to it, which
is really?
Hashtag. Okay. If you haven't done so already, follow I'm with Bozo on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're also on four more that I just found out about today, podcast streaming apps that I would have to pull up right now to look at. But if you haven't done so, give me a follow. Appreciate everybody from all the other countries chiming in, Germany, Vietnam. Vietnam's been chiming in there every week. Appreciate you guys. Hope I'm bringing you guys some good content. And this is fun to listen to because it's very fun for me to do. But other than that, with the whole voice message thing, somebody commented on Corey's team name when he traded Mahomes and he still had Mahomes as his team name. And then when he was going to talk about the collusion with the trade that he made for Mahomes, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think you were – no, you were not part of that.
Well, so, I wasn't part of the trade, but, well, I mean, you know. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't really got to get too much into that because we kind of already did. Right. But we're going to move right along here and get to the majority of people's favorite topic on the podcast. With the feedback I've been getting, this is what everybody loves the most. It's time we move to the segment, ladies and gentlemen, where Mr. KG in the kitchen, owner of the Lamb Chops, gives me his top six teams now to make the playoffs, because six teams make the playoffs. I wanted the top five originally. Bozo boy, Eric, couldn't give me a top five. So also another shout out to Eric, giving credit, because giving six teams is actually better because it is the playoffs. So I do appreciate you for that, Eric. But you gave me seven teams. You couldn't pick a sixth. So I need Lamb Chops top six predictions for the league on who's going to make the playoffs. And if you want, you can call out who's going to be the champion. But nobody to this day has done that.
Well, I'm not going to curse anybody by calling out the champion.
I love that. Thank you.
I don't want to put that on anybody. But I did a lot of studying and teams and players that are hurt, guys that are on the top of the league now, but they're playing backups, so they're obviously winning, and you know,
they're playing backups,
making their ranks up, right, making their way up. But some of the guys on the bottom that have guys that are injured that are going to be coming off the IR that could, you know, kind of mix things up a little bit. So first and foremost, and this is in no order. I mean, I haven't
read it. As they haven't been. Nobody has ever said they're in any order. I told you guys you could do it in order if you wanted.
Right.
But it does seem to be the consensus. The first couple teams they say have been who they think is going to finish in the top. But
this is not in order. So my first team that I think will make the top six this year is Lamb Chops.
Lamb Chops. Oh, baby. Hot take.
Hey, I'm a firm believer, and it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And looking at the league, sixth place right now is at 3-4. 3-4.
Okay.
I am 2-5. I was looking at some teams, and, you know, like I said, guys are on injury, IR. I think I have a very, very, very balanced team. If I can stay healthy, I think I'm going to squeak this upset out. I know there's a lot of talk in the chat. No chance, no shot. But hey, if you don't believe in yourself and your team, what do you believe in, right?
It's been called out on this podcast numerous times.
What do you believe in if you don't believe in yourself?
Hey, 100%.
I'm coming out the gate, putting myself in the top six.
I love it.
Next up, we'll just go with no collusion. Because as stated earlier, I told you I'd get to this point.
Yes,
he does have Burrow and he does have Herbert on his team. Two high-powered offenses.
Weird. Wonder how he got the other one.
Well, you know.
He ripped you off.
It happens.
Anyway, I digress.
So I think Corey, no collusion. I think he's definitely – his team's on the up and up. I mean, as long as Burrow and Herbert can stay healthy.
He's also coming off a fat L from your boy.
Just got to make the top six, right? True. So I think he'll make it. Very true. Next up, I'm going to go with my dude. Just got married. Congrats, EZ.
Easy money in the bank, baby.
Again, if his team can stay healthy on books, I mean, he looks – he's got a pretty strong team. I mean, unfortunately, this week, Davante Adams is out because of COVID, which
That could be a multiple-week thing.
Yeah, but once he gets
Chris, the NFL has, at least.
But once he gets Chris Carson back, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's having a beast year.
What do you mean? Rashad Penny just came in and dominated for Seattle last night. Chris Carson's going to get no touches.
Chris Carson will be the starter. And then, obviously, he has Patrick Mahomes, which, I mean, if you got Patrick Mahomes – you got a shot at making the playoffs.
I mean, the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, Mahomes has thrown an interception in every game. That's the first time ever in his career he's had 4 games in a row where he threw an interception. Also, in this game, the last game the Chiefs had was the first time in Chiefs history with Patrick Mahomes starting, they did not score a touchdown. Something is wrong.
What about last year's Super Bowl when the Bucs beat them?
Regular season. It was. I saw was regular season. They haven't scored a touchdown since Mahomes was the starter. Obviously, that Super Bowl happened.
That's right. Go Bucs, baby. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Recording out. Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay. So, easy team. So, next up, I mean, you know, it's great to see, too, because Duncan all these years has put a lot of thought and stuff into his teams. I mean, he's got Cooper Kupp, and I think with Cooper Kupp, I mean, the way he's playing this year with Stafford, I mean, it's pretty much a given. He's going to be in the playoffs.
Every time Duncan's name gets brought up, it's just like Ride Dog. Hashtag can't finish. But I like it. I like it.
I mean, he's
in first place. He's got the best team in the league.
I don't understand why he's got like 12 quarterbacks on his team, but
value, baby.
He's doing what he's got to do.
He's hoarding it, which brings up a hot topic in Corey. Plug your ears. My other leagues, we set a limit on positions that you can have on your team to where you can't hoard players.
Oh, okay.
Might be a thing to look at moving forward with the Duncan strategy in this league.
Well, I don't know.
Not really, but four quarterbacks
is going to do that much.
He's got a million he can look at for value for next year. He's got four good quarterbacks he can keep for next year value. Like, what?
Okay, I mean, I got you. Maybe he'll keep Jared Goff as a keeper.
I mean, you never know if we draft somebody sick next year. I haven't even looked at any like new recruits next year.
All right, so back to my fifth pick. Obviously, in second place, I mean, pretty consistent. Rye Dog, I mean, his team is solid with Dak and Jared
Hashtag
Allen.
Can't finish, number two.
Josh Allen on his team. I said Jared, that's okay. I mean, I think his team is pretty – he's going to be tough to beat. I mean, he's up there.
Oh, yeah, he's solid.
And then last but not least, how could I leave out the reigning champ? Save the best.
Your boy, Geek.
Save the best for last.
Love it.
Obviously, Jamar Chase, Kyler Murray, Justin Jefferson. I mean, low-key Leonard Fournette is like going to
– And Dalvin Cook, don't forget.
Yeah, well, that guy's got to stay healthy, but that's okay. He'll be all right.
Whatever, even if he doesn't, I'll go pick up Madison again. I had him on my team.
And then, you know, Jalen Hurts, that team right there alone. I mean, you got a good squad.
Appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it, which is funny because – hashtag, I haven't got my chance to be on the episode yet. But I will get my time to do it because I want to talk about my whole Kyler Murray, Dalvin Cook thing. And it's crazy because I had them both last year, but, like, I had a whole controversy about it. I brought it up a few times. I wasn't able to keep them both. But now I was able to draft Kyler Murray, and now I can keep that motherfucker for another 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait till I get my episode. Y'all are going to be – ooh, you're all going to be – you've got chills down your vibes when I get my episode. I can't wait.
That's my dude. All right, so yeah, that's my top six. I mean,
that's your top six.
Really, I mean, and again, I was doing a lot of studying in our league. I mean, it's besides the top three teams, obviously Duncan 6-1, Rye Dog 5-2, you 5-2. I mean,
Corey's
it's
right
gonna
there.
Be close. It's gonna come down to most points scored for that like
that fourth, fifth, sixth spot.
Fourth, fifth, sixth spot. It's going to come down to who scored the most points. Because I believe that's our first tiebreaker, correct?
I believe it is. I have to hear with your brother.
I think it's points. I think it's points scored. I'm pretty sure it's points.
And then it's record after that, maybe.
Yes.
It should be record first, and then points.
It should be. I mean, well,
I digress. Hey,
but that's why this is a hashtag. I'm a bozo league. We do things backwards.
Yep, I love you.
We wear our big shoes and our red noses.
Yep. Give me your three bottom feeders, baby.
Oh, bottom feeders. Okay. Well. Sorry, bro. I love you, but I got to put the pork chops on the bottom three. I mean, looking at the team.
They just don't have it.
I mean, if Michael Thomas comes back and is the Michael Thomas of old, he might not make the bottom three, but I'm not banking on Michael Thomas also being who he was.
He's got no one to throw the ball to.
And he doesn't have Drew Brees anymore, so I'm not counting on him being who he is.
Got a big matchup this week, I'll tell you what.
My next one in the bottom three. Sorry, Mike, but Fuku is, I mean, he's no running backs. Tough.
It's funny you mention him because he's been on a little bit of a heater lately. He was kind of in the bottom and now he's all the way up to seven.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I think he's again, another one who's been on the podcast and got some W's after being on the podcast. So
anybody that has
no curse here.
Anybody that has two kickers on their team at one time.
I mean, that could have just been a bye week thing, dude. Like it happens. I've had three defenses. Like it's a thing.
I mean, I know you did you did keep a defense one year.
I did keep a defense, and that was the year I had to be the Bush Light Bozo and bring the beer. And that was when I kept a defense. And then guess what happened? I drafted the team that then won me the Dotty Peppers.
I mean, it happens. And then last but not least, I mean, how can I not put, you know, Paul/Brett, Hot Tub Time Machine? I think
Hot Tub Time Machine.
I think they're just going to, I mean, look at their running backs. I just think it's
well, Chubb's got to come back for them. I mean, Corey, close yours again. I traded for Chubb in my other league. He had two good weeks, and then he's been out for the last two or three. So it's
but with Clyde Edwards-Helaire being gone, I think I think you know, Paul, the Martha of the year, the GM
Martha
of the year.
Of the year. That's the hot take number seven this podcast.
Martha of the year. That's what that's the award Hot Tub Time Machine gets is Martha of the year.
Martha
award.
Of the year. We'll have to get your brother to create a custom little.
So I want to ask one question. So if they finish, if Hot Tub Time Machine finishes dead last,
they got to double the intake of brews at the beer.
That's place. There you go.
Yeah, 100%. We'll vote on that too. I mean, duh, they got two people involved.
They got to bring
two people. Let's double your chances of losing.
They just got to bring a keg to the party.
Quarter barrel. I'd be down.
Yeah, no, full.
That's a little much for us.
That's all right. That's all right.
Actually, I might take that back. Given the night we had at Sark's house at the draft party, we could probably.
I was gonna say, yeah, from the clown show I heard at the Sark's draft party. I mean, I'm pretty sure you boys can hang.
Yeah. You were in. We had to zoom you in because you were.
And I was hung up on about seven times.
I mean, hashtag growing pains, no connection. Also, I think this time. I did it with no Wi-Fi this time. I don't think we've had any robot voices, which I will obviously gladly take.
Well, good. Did you use the new microphone?
So that's a thing. I thought I could do everybody that's been on the podcast knows kind of how I do it. I do a Zoom meeting and then I send you an Anchor app update thing on your phone to join it. I thought that I could plug my new microphone, hashtag no collusion. Corey hooked it up for the link on that. I thought I could hook my microphone up to the computer, get to send you an invite through my computer to join this. I couldn't do that. So I couldn't actually use the new microphone. I got to get a new cord that will allow me to plug the microphone in from my phone to the microphone, which hashtag growing pains over here at I'm with Bozo. I will be in the works of getting that here for the week, but it is being worked on. I think the quality.
I gave you my advice. I gave you my advice on the HDMI adapter for the phone.
Yep.
Which you can get. So I think that'll work out tremendous. I've used it. It's great. So
perfect. I will definitely be looking into it. I can't wait. This time's been great. Kevin, it's time to get to everybody else's favorite segment of the week that was brought on. Hashtag Blake Smith brought this to the podcast from the group text, being that he would always send us the lock of the week and we would always vote against it and it would always hit until he started picking 3 weeks in a row and then his teams were hitting. So now I got everybody sitting in my circus tent in the hot seat and they are supposed to give me their betting lock of the week, NCAA or NFL, hashtag anybody that's listening to this that's not in Michigan. I am in Michigan, and we, majority of everybody here is in Michigan, are allowed to bet on sports legally. So we put a lock of the week into this podcast, made it a whole segment, and it has taken off. So KG in the kitchen cooking up. I want to get your hashtag hot take lock of the week this week, NCAA or NFL. Let's hear it.
Well, my lock, I'm taking it to the NFL. This team has had some growing pains. Hashtag fire Martha. But I think this week,
oh my,
the Detroit Lions,
oh my,
at +3.5.
Oh my God.
Will cover the spread. And that's my lock pick.
That, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. I think he's betting with his heart because he is from Michigan. He's taking the Detroit Lions against the Philadelphia Eagles, which I believe is on the road in Philly.
Nope, we're in Detroit.
Okay.
We're in Detroit.
Restore the roar, baby.
So we can lose on a 66-yard field goal by 3, and we will still cover.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. KG in the kitchen is taking the hometown Detroit Lions +3.5 against
the Philadelphia Eagles
this week. Lock it in, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, let's go back to the previous locks of the week. We've got a little bit of time here. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes. The only lock of the week that is hit so far has been Mike Malinchak taking Cincinnati.
Wow. So
everybody else has lost. Corey, MSU -5.5. Nope. Brett G, Pitt, Steelers +6.5. Nope. Paul, Ole Miss +14.5 against Alabama. Ew. Oop. Nope.
Ew.
Mike M, Moneyline, Seattle. Nope. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Rye Dog, Moneyline, Seattle. Nope. Mike, next week, Cincinnati -3 against the Lions. Duh. That hit. And then Blake, last week, Moneyline, Dolphins did not hit. Almost hit. They took the lead late in the fourth, but they let up a drive. Give away a game-winning field goal, I believe. And now, ladies and gentlemen, moving forward, KG is taking Detroit Lions +3.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles this week.
Lock it in.
Lock it up.
Four units.
Uh-oh. If anybody knows what units are, you heard it here first. All right, KG, we got to the end of the segment there. Let me get your closing moments. You got anything to send the boys off with?
Well, first and foremost, obviously, I got to thank you for the opportunity, or I should say Blake for nominating me.
Oh, yeah. Hurry. Give me your next pick.
Oh, okay.
Let's do it right now because I only got a minute and a half left. Give me your next
pick. I mean, the man just got married. I got to put him on the hot seat. We got to hear about the wedding. We got to hear about the married life. We got to hear about the fantasy football. We got to see where his mind is after being married. So, I mean, of course, my boy, Easy. Eric's team, you up next.
Easy money in the bank, baby. I can't wait. I love it. Kevin, I appreciate you taking some time out of your very busy Tuesday night, what it sounds like, to accompany me here in the circus tent and take a seat in my hot seat. I look forward to seeing what Lamb Chops do the rest of the year. I don't think we've played against each other, but until next time, boy, we'll see ya.
It'll be splashy. Don't worry.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Hashtag you're all bozos. I'm coming for the top.